Well, good evening, Stavanger Lutheran Church. This is Pastor Matt coming to you from a new spot in the house. Last recording I looked at that I did, it kind of looked a little bit like a Bin Laden capture video. So, you know, we're learning all about this recording stuff as we go. But here, got you in my my office here at the house today. Thank you for joining us for this last Wednesday evening service in our Lenten season. You know, we will have our Good Friday service coming up here next week, and that'll be posted at the same time as usual. But before that, we do invite you to not come to the church building, but to join us online for our Palm Sunday Sunday morning service on YouTube and Facebook. Now, in the past, we've had a pancake breakfast that has been a good time for us to get together and raise money for a good cause, usually, and to enjoy pancakes and sausage at church. But we can't do that this year. So instead, what we're going to do is we're still going to have pancakes, but we're just going to have them in our own homes, okay? So you got to make them yourself, post pictures to the Stavanger Stavanger Church Facebook page, and we can still celebrate Palm Sunday, that aspect of it. In that way, and we're right now getting ready for our Palm Sunday service itself, and so that will be posted sometime in the morning, probably around 9 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. So that's what we're doing for Palm Sunday, and also with that, after that, this next Friday we have our Good Friday service, which will be posted in the afternoon, evening next Friday. And And all of this is leading up to Easter Sunday. It's about a week and a half from now. So with that, we have our passage, which is Isaiah chapter 53, verses 8 and 9. And before we get into that, I'll have a couple questions. But before we do that, let's spend some time in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the time that we have together this evening, or whenever it is that folks are watching this. Lord, we ask that your word would penetrate our hearts, that you would show us what you want us to see today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, now you won't need a pen and a piece of paper for this, but I'm going to ask you to answer a few questions for me. If you're watching this together as a family, I invite you to share your answers to these questions that I'll give you in a moment. But if you're alone, I still invite you to just ponder these questions for a while. And I'll have these up on the screen while you do this. But we're going to take just a couple minutes here and think about this. Three questions. What is the worst thing that happened to you this past week? Okay. Second, what is the worst thing that happened to you this past year? Third, what is the worst thing that's happened to you in your entire life? Now, I'm going to put up a blank screen here with the questions, and you'll just have to pause your video so that you can answer the questions. So go ahead and click resume when you're ready. Go ahead, click pause now. All right. Thanks for taking that time to do that. You know what? For some of us, the worst thing that could have happened this past week was a bad haircut. Something like that. Some of you guys, you know, you've seen that you got to cut your own hair since you're at home. Maybe some of you don't know how to do that. Maybe it hasn't turned out good. Or maybe you need a haircut and it hasn't worked out good. Maybe it's a series of bad hair days. Maybe that's the worst thing that's happened this past week. You know what? This past year, though, if you trace some of the worst things that have happened to you this year, it may have been the loss of a job, or there was a health issue that came up. If we expand that, though, to your entire life, what's the worst thing that's happened to you in your entire life? You know, maybe it was the loss of a loved one. Maybe it was the loss of hopes and dreams. You know, for some people who have lost loved ones due to COVID-19, you know, the worst thing that has ever happened to them, it actually happened this past week. It's recent. And for some of us, the worst thing that we'll experience in this life is potentially not that far away in the future. We don't know when evil's coming to wreck our lives. We don't know that. Well, the passage we're looking at this evening, or whenever it is that you're watching this, it tells us about the worst thing that has ever happened in the history of the universe. Now, COVID-19 isn't as bad as this thing. The Holocaust and World War II combined, they weren't as bad as this. The fall of humanity into sin, the first sin, it wasn't as bad as this. This evil that's described in our passage today, it's the worst thing of all time. Let's read this together. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. It's Isaiah 53, verse 8. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Now, let's just go over some of the things that we see here in this passage that describe this terrible thing. This guy in our passage, he was taken away to die unjustly and without mercy, while everybody else looked on. You know, another translation renders this as, he was led away after an unjust trial. But who even cared? This guy, he was cut off from the land of the living. This guy, he was punished because other people had rebelled against God. Worst of all of this was done to this guy in this passage, even though he had done no violence to anybody, even though he had not spoken deceitfully. He is an innocent sufferer. Now, you might hear that and say, you know, big deal, Matt. Yeah, what happened to this guy? It seems pretty bad, but, you know, one man's suffering has nothing on millions upon millions of people's needless sufferings because of war, racism, and disease. It's one guy, big deal. And if this guy was just some guy, you'd be right. But think about this with me in a different way for a second, and I think you'll get why this is such a big deal. You know, we view cutting down a tree and cutting down a person quite differently, don't we? Why? Because a human has infinitely more worth than a tree. You know, killing your neighbor's dog, it'll get you a hefty fine, but killing your neighbor's child? Well, that'll get you a long time in prison or worse. Why? Because human life is of much more value than the rest of animal life. Our ability to experience pain and understand suffering is far greater than an animal. We get that, right? That's pretty basic here. So let's get back to our passage. You know, in order to understand why this evil action done to this guy counts as the worst thing of all time, we need to know who this guy was. And as we've been working through this passage during the season of Lent, you know by now that this guy isn't just some ordinary guy, but rather that he is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God who came in the flesh to live among us. This guy is who John says created the entire universe. This guy is love incarnate. This guy, according to Peter, is the author of life. And he was murdered by the beings that he created. Now, we rightly value an animal over a plant and a human over another animal. We rightly understand that the evil of needlessly destroying an animal is greater than that of needlessly destroying 1,000 plants, right? You know, the evil of needlessly destroying a human life is greater than that of needlessly destroying 1,000 animals. Now, apply this to our situation in our text. Here we have the ultimate being from whom everything has come into existence. He created the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat. He gave us love, joy, peace, comfort. He gave us all the good things that we enjoy in this life. He created us. We would have no life without him. And not only that, he came to live with us as one of us. And how did we repay him? We arrested him and put him on trial. We lied about him. We beat him and spat on him. We mocked him. We rigged an unjust trial to condemn him to death, even though in that trial he was declared to be innocent 6 times over. Yet we stripped him naked. We gave him a crown of thorns and jabbed it onto his head. We drove nails into his hands and hung him up on a tree to die in public disgrace. But again, this wasn't just some innocent guy that we killed, which would be evil in and of itself. We cut off the author of life from the land of the living. This was the worst thing to ever happen on this planet. Now, next week, we're remembering Christ's death on the day that we named Good Friday. And I always found it odd, and maybe you have too, that we call this day good when it's a remembrance of the worst thing to ever happen. Well, the reason why we call it good is because God has used this terrible event to do something truly great. It's the great reversal. God has taken the greatest evil that there has ever been, and he has used it to bring about the greatest good that there could ever be. And you know what? It's just like God to do this sort of thing, to use evil for good. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. You know, throughout Scripture, and in no more emphatic way than in the life of Christ, God repeatedly, he does things differently than we would expect him to. Way different than we would do them. You know, one old guy that I was reading this week, he said it like this. For his company, the Lord of Inversion chooses fishermen instead of Pharisees, sinners instead of Sadducees, and whores instead of Herodians. Jesus chooses thorns for his crown instead of silver and gold, and spit in blood instead of sweetness and light. His choices led to torment and torture, darkness and death. He does things differently than us. But what we know is that those different choices that he makes than we would make, those things that he has done, specifically through Jesus on the cross, those things resulted in his resurrection. And now, as we find our lives in him through faith, our resurrection as well. You know, because Jesus did this for us, because Jesus submitted to taking on our evil, we who were blind now see. We who were lost are now found. We who were dead can now live forevermore. Because Jesus was cut off from the land of the living, we can be resurrected and live forever with him. This God is the God of reversal. He takes the evil and turns it into good. Now, think back on your answers to the questions I had for you earlier. You know, what were the worst things that happened to you this past week, this past month, and your entire life? Now, have you seen God work through those things for good? Now, if it's just a week ago, it's kind of tough to see. But if you're like me, you've probably seen some things that you saw as terribly evil events. And you saw, and eventually, as God has worked in your life, you've seen how he has turned something beautiful He's made something beautiful out of that over time. Now, I'm not saying that you can always tell how God will use evil things for good, that, you know, in every cloud there's a silver lining. I'm not saying that. I don't think we can see that. And if you spend your life just looking for the silver linings, you're actually not going to call on God in your distress. You're going to see evil, and you're not going to call it evil. That's not the Christian response. The Christian response is to see evil for what it is, to call it evil. But then, as we are God's children, to look out to see what could God be doing through this. I'm not telling you that you're going to be able to see everything good come out of the evil situations in your life. But what I can tell you is that on some of the things that I've seen in my own life that have been the absolute worst things, the most evil things, I have seen God use them for a lot of good. And I won't share all of them for you. But, you know, one example, and this isn't a great evil thing. This is actually a small evil, but how God actually used it for a great good in my life. And some of you already know this story, but it's a story of how me and Julia got together. You know, we've been married here for over 5 years. We just celebrated the birth of Thor yesterday. He just turned 3. But if we go back to how we got, got into a relationship with each other, it kind of happened through a weird sort of way. We had met at Athelbis, which is now Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary, and we had met there. She was the grade above me, and she went to the church of my former pastor, and I eventually started going to that church because they had amazing potlucks every week, which is a great thing. But I saw her, and I thought, wow, she's way out of my league, and I got no chance. I got no chance, and so I'm not even going to try to get to know her. I'm not going to try to date her. And I was suffering through some pretty crippling insecurities at that time, but here's this beautiful woman. And I'm thinking, wow, I got no chance. So I didn't really get to know her when I was in Bible school all that well. What I did do though, is I got to know her mom, Kathy. She was the volunteer youth leader at that church. And as I was in Bible school, I started sensing God calling me into youth ministry. And so I got involved with the youth group and with the confirmation program. And it was actually through her mom and through that church that I, you know, got more experience and was able to confirm that, yeah, God actually, he's calling me into ministry. And so with that, you know, as I went back home to my hometown of Tioga and I became the youth pastor there after Bible school, I stayed in contact with Kathy, and we would occasionally partner with each other in different youth events. And one of them was where we would send, for their VBS, we would send some of our kids over there and to help with their VBS. And then the next week, they would send some of their kids over to us to help with our VBS, some of their teenagers. And so we had just done this first week, and it was a good time. And then the next week came, and it was time for our VBS. But Kathy wasn't able to come because she got sick. And so instead she sent her son Michael and her daughter Julia to lead the youth as, you know, to come on over. And as we were there, I was like, oh, okay, well, this is pretty fun. I enjoy Julia and I enjoy Michael. This is great. Well, disaster struck. Okay. It wasn't that big of a disaster, but we were driving over to Williston, which is about 45 minutes away. And as we pull into the town of Ray, which is on the way, their van's radiator hose blows. Now, normally this isn't a big deal. Take it to the shop, you know, get a new radiator hose, check everything out, it should be fine. During this time, we were in the midst of the oil boom. And one of the things that happened with that is there were no mechanics available for most places months. So if you had something go wrong in your car, you're waiting a month or more to get it fixed. So this is a problem. Now, kind of handy, I could have fixed it, but Julia's dad did not know that about me. He didn't know he could trust me to do this sort of work. And so instead what happened was they had the van go from Ray get towed to Williston. And eventually we figured out, wow, Williston isn't going to be able to work on this for a month, but we have someone in the church that could work on it sooner. Then it was a, you know, get it towed from Williston back to Tioga. And during this process, I needed to spend a lot of time with Julia in a van, riding to and fro to Williston a couple times. And while that was happening, God was igniting love in my heart for this woman. And, you know, I wouldn't have made the leap to go ask her out or to start a relationship with her unless that happened. Now, I know some of you may believe in, like, you know, soulmates or something like that. I think that's just garbage. I don't believe in that at all. You probably hate me now, but, you know, it's true. But God did have a plan for how, you know, we would meet and how we would come together, and that happened. God used a broken radiator hose to get me and Julia to come together. And, you know, we have a couple kids now, and I'm not saying it's a storybook ending where it's all good in the end. We don't know how all of our life is going to shake out, right? We're going to have other difficulties that come up in the future. But what I can say is, so far from what I can tell, and everything that as far as I can tell, getting together with Julia has been, I think it's the most rewarding time in ministry that I've ever had. it's been one of the best things that has ever happened to me. And it all happened because a stinking radiator hose exploded. So what's the moral of this story? I'm kind of rambling with that a little bit, but I really like talking about her. What's the moral of the story? That if you blow a radiator hose, you know, you should watch out because something really good might happen. No, is it that, you know, we need to change the way Christians date? We need to start a damsel in distress, form of dating in the church? Yeah, probably not. You know, that's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is that God just really loves to work something beautiful out of bad circumstances. You know, he does it all the time. Now, I don't know what evil you're experiencing today, or what you will in the future. But I do know that God can take your evil circumstances and use it for something far more beautiful than you could ever imagine. Something so beautiful that the end result makes the evil situation that you're in just pale in comparison. And our passage today, which we talked about, which talks about the suffering servant, it reminds us that God can take even the worst thing ever and use it for the greatest good ever. This is our God who reverses evil and uses it for good. Our God is not content to let evil just lay there and oppress his people. He sees you. He knows you. He understands what you are going through. He has experienced evil himself. He will not leave you in that. On the cross, Jesus demonstrated to us and accomplished for us our victory. He showed us that we can have hope in the face of evil. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to meet together, even when we are separated from each other. Lord, in our separation from each other, we're still experiencing pain. And what we need from you today is to remind us of the hope that we have in you, the new heavens and the new earth. And we need to be reminded of the hope that we can have as we live this life. That you have put us here for a reason, that you will make sense out of all of the evil that we experience in this life. And so, Lord, please remind us of that today and as we continue on in this season of Lent. Amen. Now, again, we invite you to visit us at our website, stavangerchurch.org. You can also like us on Facebook, so subscribe to us on YouTube so that you can keep up to date on everything that we're doing during this coronavirus crisis that we're experiencing. And also, reminder, Palm Sunday's coming up. Post those pancake pics. We got to see them. We want to see your beautiful faces. All right? I would tell you, go in peace. But we ain't going anywhere. So I guess stay in peace, folks. Bye now.